One, two, three, four.
Everybody, let's snap along. Start snapping while you sing. You can't go wrong. It will brighten everything.
You'll find
that singing's contagious. Spread it all around. You'll find that simply outrageous. How the world will love the sound.
Welcome to the Power of Singing podcast. My name is Joyce Wells, and I am so happy to be hosting this third season of our podcast, which is entitled The Power of Children Singing. I wore my best children's earrings today. In the words of the great Ella Fitzgerald, who had no children of her own, but spent so much of her energy teaching children and passing music on to children, the only thing better than singing is more singing. And in that spirit, our intention in creating this podcast is to encourage you to sing anytime, anywhere, all the time, everywhere, alone, with other people, with your pets, with your plants. In other words, just sing. Start singing. Keep singing. Or enjoy listening to singing. Connect to singing in whatever way works best for you. Singing is beneficial for you and the world around you. We're recording this live on Zoom on August 21st, 2023. And we are the five members of the Santosha Voice Group. Santosha means contentment. The Santosha Voice Group provides expert information, inspiration, and opportunities related to singing for all levels of singers. So whether you're a professional, an emerging professional, an amateur, meaning you do it just because you love it, or you literally only sing when no one is around, the Santosha Voice Group offers something doable and accessible for you. We believe that singing is powerful and life-transforming. Check out our website at santoshavoicegroup.com. That's S-A-N-T-O-S-H-A voicegroup.com. And now I will introduce you to who we are individually. Heather Fetro is a professional classical soprano and voice teacher from the Washington, D.C. area. Heather specializes in music by women composers and is an active freelance soprano in the classical world. Hi, Heather.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Joseph Garate is a wonderful tenor and voice teacher based in Southern California, where he sings classical gigs all over the area, is the lead singer and writer for the band Diamonds, and is a DJ. Joseph also writes deeply personal songs and is especially passionate about music for people with special needs. And Joseph has an 8-year-old son.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Joseph.
Hello.
Rich McKinney is a composer, pianist, and choral conductor living in Missouri. Rich teaches composition and composes for local choirs and has a YouTube channel that features his piano interpretations. He was a singer before losing his vocal cords to Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam. Yet his love for music and his commitment to serving it continues to reverberate in the world. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you.
Susan Mohini Kane is the founder of the Santosha Voice Group. After successful careers as an opera singer and a college professor, Susan began channeling her extensive talents and skills into becoming a singer-songwriter and teacher, spreading the joy of singing wherever she goes. Susan has just completed her first album of original songs called Waking Up in Wonderland, which you can find on Spotify, or you can find out more about at susanmohinikane.com. The album will be released on November 17th, 2023. Welcome, Susan, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm Joyce Wells, a singer, songwriter, and vocal coach living in upstate New York. After studying, performing, and teaching in many different genres, from classical to folk to Eastern music in the Vedic tradition, my focus now as a vocal coach is on supporting anyone of any age or any walk of life to enjoy your sound, for speaking or for singing. You can find out more at enjoyyoursound.com. And you can learn more about all of us on the santoshavoicegroup.com website. As I said earlier, our topic for season 3 of the Power of Singing podcast is the power of children singing. I've made music with people of all ages for most of my life and recently retired after teaching music for 16 years in an elementary school. I think we can all agree that whatever music we may like to hear or create, there's something uniquely touching about the sound of children's voices when they sing. Children do a type of singing before they begin to express thoughts in words, the sound of a baby gurgling and cooing, and even crying has an element of purity that touches our hearts. The laughter of a child, one of the most spontaneous sounds anyone ever makes, feels like a type of music to me. It scatters light into the world, happy vibrations. And when many children laugh together, it can be like the air is literally sparkling. I believe that singing is a direct expression of the heart, bypassing the mind, so that when children sing, we feel their purity touching ours. As they begin to grow up and learn simple songs, perhaps singing in groups with their friends at church or at school, their sounds become more focused, like laser beams, and even more powerful. During the pandemic, I taught some little ones over Zoom. And even through that medium, every so often, a child would sing a note so beautifully that my heart would literally jump with delight. And I would always tell them, oh, that went right into my heart, meaning that, you know, letting them know they had done it just the way we want to do it. And inevitably, they would giggle and be so happy. Mommy, you know, I made her heart jump. So today, and in the next 4 episodes, we will explore this beautiful phenomenon, the power of children singing. We hope you will enjoy it and be inspired by it to relish children's voices and to support children in singing. Each of us will share a personal story, a recording of children singing that we've chosen just for today, and each of us will pose a question to the rest of the panel on this topic to spark a discussion. So let's dive in. For today's episode, the topic is discovering the ability to make sound. And to lead us in this exploration is Rich McKinney. Take it away, Rich.
Thank you, Joyce. Actually, some of the things that I plan to talk about are things that you talked about, discovering sound. For example, I think children, before they even know it, learn that making sound is a way to get attention and to, you know, if their diaper is wet or if they don't feel well or whatever, is a way to get attention. And we learn that our voices are always a way to get attention. I learned the hard way that when your voice is gone, you have a little bit more trouble getting attention. And it can be scary sometimes, but that's what it is. I think children's voices are precious because they are pristine. They have not been affected by anybody telling them do this, right? Or you should sound like this, or this, or whatever, following in instructions. I think we sometimes jump in a little bit too early, but children are Children are miraculous and really wonderful, just as they are. And I think sometimes we forget to look at children as individuals. And they truly are. When I was teaching elementary school, I had second graders that could sit you on your ear. And they were just wonderful children to work with. So I don't think music education is limited to children, but it's certainly a great place to start. I have a niece in town this weekend. I told her, your children need to have music in their lives. And she looked at me as if that idea had never occurred to her, which was actually kind of an insult to me, but we'll let that go. So anyway, children, I think, do have this connection to making sound, and they discover that, and they use that connection. And that's how they eventually sing, is by controlling that. We learn that how we make the sound can get certain responses. Even moaning can be musical. Certainly happiness can be musical. Love can be musical. All of these things can be expressed through music. So we're giving these children and helping them find their pathway to contentment, which is what we're all about in the first place, because we believe that contented people are better in our society, and our aim is to be contented, and we hope that maybe what we're doing here will help people find their own contentment. My song, I don't work with a choir right now. Let me go back. I want to tell you my story version of, I have a great nephew, and when I first had my surgery done and my voice taken, I went to visit my family. Drew was my nephew, and he maybe had been about 1.5 years old. He could walk, and he was not talking much. After we left, my sister called, and she said, Drew is really missing you. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. How do you know he was missing you? Because he can't talk. And she said, yeah, but he goes around the house going, trying to figure out where I am. So I thought that was a really wonderful story about children really being knowledgeable and knowing how to manage this kind of thing. I was very touched by that story, that he was really trying to communicate with me. That's a better story when it's told by somebody who has a voice, because then they don't have to make the sound up. But you get the idea, I think. We call attention to meetings, and we go to church, and the opening hymn tells everybody to stand up. It's all written right in the bulletin there. He tells you when to stand, when to sit down, and tell you how to sing. But sometimes people learn that. And that's my first experience with singing, is that I was in church and everybody sang joyful songs, and I wanted to be joyful too. And so I learned to sing in church. Nobody had to tell me anything. There were people around me all singing, and I learned to love singing as a part of praise. And it still is a part of praise. I don't care if we're singing as time goes by. It's still an act of praise, in my view, because we were given this wonderful gift of music, which is the universal language. So I'm very happy about that. I'm going to tell you now about the song. Is that right, John? I think the song I wrote for this event is called Abracadabra, and the subtitle is Music is Magic. We're going to be able to play some of this for you. The idea of this song, well, let me restate that. This song is an idea. In each section of the song, I put double bars at the beginning and end of it, so every section can be repeated. You can make this song last a minute and 36 seconds, or you can make it last 10 minutes if you like. So it's all a matter of how you interpret the various sections and what you want to repeat and what you don't want to repeat. But it's a fun song, and I think children will like it. and they are mystified by magic, so I think that compels them to understand that we sometimes choose topics that are over their head. An 8-year-old doesn't know about singing about romantic love, so it makes no sense to give them that kind of music. But they do know animals, they do know colors, they do know love, they do know what kind of love. So we need to be sure that when we talk about love, we include love is not exclusive, it's inclusive. And so that's what our music brings to these children. That's all I have for my part. I hope that you enjoy what everybody else will bring you with this podcast. And we're going to listen to the song Abracadabra. Susan.
I'm going to help introduce the song. This is Susan. I'm going to help introduce Rich's song, Abracadabra. He played the piano part and wrote the song. And then he sent it over here to Los Angeles to me. And I have an 11-year-old goddaughter who really loved it. She just fell in love with the song right away. And the reason she loved it, Rich, was because it had style. And it was like her style. That's what she said. So you'll hear her doing her style. So this is Ella singing Rich's Abracadabra.
Swing. I was starting to dance.
Yeah, me too.
What a great voice she has.
Yeah, she's 11 and she just loved the style of that. She really got into it. It was fun.
It really worked. Beautiful, Rich.
Thank you, Susan, for making that happen.
You are welcome. Thank you for writing it and sending me the piano part.
And thank you so much, Rich, for this guiding us through this. I'm can't wait to hear what your question is going to be for us, because that's still up to come. Yes.
Oh, my question is, what's the most compelling element of singing that compels children to participate?
I love it. What's the most compelling elements of music that makes people sing, children sing? Is that right?
Yes.
I'll say something. This is going to get to kind of some of the themes of what I would like to talk about. But my gut reaction when I hear that question is it isn't even something necessarily musical per se, or like, you know, whatever rhythm or that a child wants to tell a story or something like that. I think that it's a kind of a freedom, like a safety that a child has, you know, a feeling of, oh, this is, I can make a fool of myself. I can make mistakes in front of people. I can you know, I can kind of go out on a limb and try something. And I think that it, I don't know. I mean, as I've been preparing for today, I've been thinking, wow, you know, the intersection between like child psychology and music teaching would be a huge field, you know, but I don't know that it's possible that is kind of a child's natural state to be able to feel that way. It might not be, but I've been wondering about that, but that just sort of, you know, feeling of freedom and feeling of safety and like lack of self-consciousness, you know, I think a kiddo gets that kind of self-consciousness once they turn 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but kind of naturally. But if you can kind of preserve that, you know, even as they get a little older, you know, like Ella or like my kiddo, Ellie, you know, if you can kind of preserve that feeling of vulnerability and freedom, I mean, it's, you know, or help them to preserve it in themselves, that's incredible. So.
Yeah, I'd like to like jump on that as well. Like there's a sense of safety, right? Like I think like with Ella singing, I know she would not have done that at all, much less done it with such freedom if there were different people around, if there was anybody around, actually, because she's 11. But as I'll show you later, I've got some clips of the same girl singing when she was 4. And then when she was 5, and then when she was 6, and then she was 7 and 8, and you can really feel the reasons that she sings change, you know. And but I think one of the main reasons the little ones start, the most compelling thing to me is, in my experience, is the vibrations, mm-hmm. is just the physical sensations of singing. And of listening to music, just how it feels good, you know, just feels good in your mouth. It feels good in your body. And, you know, your whole body kind of reverberates and buzzes. And I think that's really fun. And this is like, you can even hear that with the little ones going, mama, and why the word mama even started, you know, is because there's a nice buzzing in your mouth when you do it. Everybody that's listening right now, try that. And you can feel buzzing on your lips, right? Mama, ma. It just feels good to say it, right? That's all I have to say about that.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on what you said, because I was going to say, I think one of the most compelling things is it's fun. I mean, children will say so many times when you're singing this is fun. This is fun, you know, and whether the song doesn't have to even be a happy song, they just go like, woo, you know, especially with rhythm or if they put, you know, so there are lots of things. I think self-expression is another one that they just feel very naturally. And some of them are great doing it in front of other people. And some of them, I had a little girl recently came to me. I wanted her to sing. She's a great singer. And she said, I don't sing in front of other people. And I said, oh, that's too bad. Cause you know, we want to, she said, but I'll go around the corner over there and I'll sing for you. So I said, oh, okay. So she went around the corner and then she sang. Then she came out and I was like, that was beautiful. You know? I think sometimes it's very private for them and sometimes it's very public, but I do think in general that it's a lot of it is about, in addition to what you said, Susan, and that it's fun. They love it because it's fun.
I think it's such a great question too. And I agree with everything that everybody said, because I think with any child, right, there might be a plethora of reasons, right? It might depend on the particular child and the particular age and, you know, what they had for breakfast and all those factors we can't control, right? Because that's a thing, right? But I also think what immediately came to me was that there could be a point of connection for them in the song, whether it's the feeling, oh, I know how that feels. This person is singing about that. I know how that feels for me too. Or just the words themselves, you know, they just enjoy with singing. They just enjoy those words, that rhyme, you know, whatever that is. There's just, in music, there can just be that And I don't mean this like immediate gratification in the way that sometimes our culture does, but it is very gratifying and very satisfying to engage with both music and words, you know, in that interplay. And I think with kids, sometimes for them, it's just like you said, it's just so fun. Oh, I didn't know these words went with that tune and this sort of thing. And it's just their curiosity then is kind of comes alive to, oh, can I sing that? Oh, I can sing that, you know, and that immediate sense of accomplishment. I think music gives a lot of kids that, again, who might not do so well in math or reading, you know, where there's sort of that, oh my gosh, my brain has to, you know, there's this amazing thing with kids because they are, unfortunately, we grow out of that some ways as adults, but they are so, you know, involved in their physical world and experiencing for the first time. So music really gives them both, I think, a connection, you know, physically to the world, you know, as well as the mental stimulation, you know, and that's really good for them, but it's also really good for the music, right? Because that's what we all strive for as we get older, you know, is not to lose that immediacy of expressing the words physically, you know, but also having an adult brain now to connect to it. But I'm not sure the adult brain is necessarily superior anyway to the child brain when it comes to this. So it's kind of fun to play around with that, you know, because they're, like you were saying, and we were talking about their playfulness, you know, is just so what the music needs. Yeah. Like they said about Mozart, he was always a big child, you know, who never really grew up. And you hear that in his music. It's like, yeah, why did we grow up? He was fine, you know, maybe not for paying taxes or things like that, but he was a good musician. So
actually, every individual comes to music with their own really set of circumstances. It might be an aunt, it might be a grandmother, it might be a neighbor, it might be a man, it might be a woman. That inspires them. So all of our inspirations for singing and for learning the power that we have with our own voice, all of that is something that we learn, and that we learn to use that to our advantage. As a rule, so good singers realize somewhere along the way that they're good singers, and then they think, I can share this. I'm available to share this and make people happy. My thing is not that way, so I have to find another way to reach them, but I do reach them. Okay, that's all.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much, Rich, for leading us in this topic, discovering the ability to make sound. I'm sure there's also a lot of food for thought there for everyone who is listening. So thank you once again. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Power of Singing podcast, season 3, The Power of Children Singing. You can hear all 5 of the episodes wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about our group members, please visit our podcast page on our website, santoshavoicegroup.com. S-A-N-T-O-S-H-A. May your day be filled with the joy that is so natural to all of us as children. It is still there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.